Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Joe and BMAC here with you until 7 o'clock, broadcasting live at Nick's Place. The Astros game coming up here shortly, 6:15, Colorado U of H at 6:30. They have the karaoke party tonight from 9:30 to 1. Saturday mornings they open at 9 a.m. for Premier League games with their brunch specials. Pool tournament tomorrow at 10 p.m. Also, Canelo Crawford tomorrow night. $20 cover to get in, but absolutely worth it. Costs you way more money to watch it at home. Come on out here, watch. It's a great time. I love coming out to Nick's Place for fights. A lot of Conor McGregor fights. This was like kind of like
Oh, was this your go-to?
Yeah, this was my go-to. Especially when I lived like in the area. We came out for every McGregor fight.
Yeah, I was telling Nick I came out here for WrestleMania 32 because at the time they were one of the few sports bars that would actually show WrestleMania. I think Buffalo Wild Wings would, but I'd much rather be here. The food's way better. So.
Way better.
Yeah, me and a buddy came out and watched a disappointing main event with Triple H and Roman Reigns.
All right, we still got a lot to get to. We'll talk some Astros. We'll talk about the Texans a little bit. Obviously, not a game weekend. Game coming up on Monday. And then Monday will be just Jeremy and Mapes on Monday. We're ditching Jeremy like 4 days into the show. We're both taking vacation days.
Yeah.
I'll be back on Tuesday. You'll be back on Wednesday.
I'll be back on Wednesday, yeah.
All right. We teased it before we went to break. What happens if the Astros miss the playoffs? What's the fallout in the organization if this team who lost last year in two games in the wild card round and then misses the playoffs this year, and you could even say makes the playoffs but loses again in the same exact fashion, what's the fallout for this team?
I think those are two different questions because I think there's a conversation we can have about what should happen and then what will happen. Because to me, like, the worst place you can be in sports is the middle ground. Like, we saw this for years with the Rockets, like the Kevin Martin, Luis Scola era, where they were winning, like, 43 games, 44 games. Never had a high enough pick to change their fortunes. Never good enough to make the playoffs, or even if they got in, they were one and done. And it kind of feels like that's where the Astros are trending. They're always going to be – I mean, obviously the injuries have derailed the season, but it feels like they're in a spot now that the dynastic run is now trended more towards being kind of that tier of team that's barely squeaking into the playoffs but never really taken seriously as a threat. So to me, you either got to go all in, you got to spend the money to get there, you got to make the correct changes, which I think also would include firing Joe Espada if they miss the playoffs, or you got to back out and start over. Like, not maybe not go completely Miami Marlins after winning the World Series, but maybe take the Tampa Bay Rays approach where some of your older guys, your guys over 30, you're rethinking about how long you're hanging on to them and trying to restart the rebuilding process a little bit while you also try to at least stay, you know, relevant on the field.
I think this part for me with Joe Espada, I think it's feels a little fan service-y in a way, mainly because I don't think managers are that important.
I don't.
Now, I do think there's some questions about Joe Espada in the clubhouse. Honestly, I think he's just kind of weird. I think going back to Cam Smith making the roster,
yeah,
the way that was announced, some of the other stuff that Joe Espada does just seems it's a little cheesy, and that might not play well. But in the end of the day, like, does it matter? Is it the reason why the Astros are in the position they are in? No, it's absolutely not. But Dana Brown came in here and they kept Joe Espada, who's been with the organization for years and years and years at this point. And if they're going to be heading in this direction, I think it is fair to say that Dana Brown would get the opportunity to bring in his own guy, his own manager. And I don't think Dana Brown's on the hot seat because I think he's put together a good roster with the exception of all the injuries that have happened. And that's not all his fault. And some of it, there's limitations.
Do you give him any blame for Christian Walker?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I agree with you for the most part. He's put together a good roster, but I mean, his big move was signing Christian Walker, and it's not been Jose Abreu disaster, but it's not been good.
No, and trading away Kyle Tucker I think was the right decision to make, and Cam Smith's obviously been struggling mightily. But I think there's still a really good player in there. Paredes was obviously very good, specifically at Daikin Park before he got hurt. Wisniewski, we'll see what he looks like next year if he can pitch at some point. Who knows with these guys. But I think with Joe Espada, if they were to miss the playoffs and this thing were to go really in a bad way over the next 15 days – that it starts there. Just if Dana Brown wants to make a decision to change manager, he should be allowed to. The other part of this, and I just wonder, as a business owner for Jim Crane, I do wonder, and I heard Lance talking about this the other day, and Sean and I are going to be talking about this on Inside the Icebox coming up at 7 o'clock. I kicked Jeremy off the show.
Okay, all right.
Sean's my new co-host on that. I couldn't deal with that much Jeremy.
Yeah, no, after how much he got bent out of shape about the underdog thing, I don't blame you.
I couldn't deal with it. But if I was Jim Crane, like, and I own this team that's worth, like, $2 billion probably, and I have millions of dollars in salary, and my fans still complain about how much money I don't spend, even though I spend a lot of money, I'm firing my medical staff. Let's start there. It's time.
Yeah, that'd be fair even if they made the playoffs and won the World Series. That would still be fair.
Yes, it's time. It's time to look at whatever's going wrong within this organization in terms of health. I know there are players who are injured who take time to come back. Players have setbacks. Hell, Kyle Tucker is going through another setback right now with a calf injury that's been totally mismanaged. But the Astros, how long it's taken Luis Garcia to get back. And then for his velocity to be as low as it was in the minors, I think it was such like 87, 88. They push through it, and then he gets you a game and then an inning and two-thirds, and he's out again, probably for next year. He's probably done as a Houston Astro. Like, the injury stuff, it seems extreme here in Houston. I'm trying not to be biased, and frankly, I don't think I am. Of anyone like you could listen to about this topic, I think I'm the least biased person about this because I watch another team every single day.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
Like, I see what
they
go
through. Do a show about them.
Yeah, like, I see what they go through with players with Tommy John and injuries, and it's not this extreme. Like, heads got to roll, and I'm sorry for those nice people like Jeremiah Randall and other doctors.
No, you don't have to
put
nice people on them.
I'm sure they're nice people, but like, yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go.
I don't blame them for some of the stuff that we have talked about with Astros injuries. Like, if it's a conversation of they're just not giving us the full extent, kind of like we have with the Texans, I don't necessarily blame them for that because they don't obviously owe us the full details of the injury. They just tell us when he's back, sort of thing. But where I do blame them, and I fall on your side of, like, let's make wholesale changes to the medical staff, is what we've seen of players who they've seemingly rushed back not being ready. Yordan Alvarez taking batting practice while he still had a broken bone in his hand that was only 60% healed. Obviously, what happened with Jake Meyers where, you know, very shortly after he got injured in that Dodgers series back in early July, they put him back on the field, and then he was out for, what, over a month after that? I mean, Jeremy Pena had a broken rib. He stayed in the game and was, like, lifting weights or whatever after the game, even though we found out later he had a broken rib. And obviously you mentioned Kyle Tucker, the whole shin bruise that turned into
a
3-month break, right. Like, all of those things, to me, cannot be excused. Frankly, it's embarrassing to me that we've gone through as many of the things we've listed off, and that's not even all of them, with changes out not being made already.
Mm-hmm. Like, I totally agree.
I don't know what Jim – because obviously Jim Crane is a brilliant businessman or he wouldn't own a Major League Baseball franchise. You cannot get to that level without being a brilliant businessman. But I don't understand how a brilliant businessman could look at that many examples of one specific department failing without making a change.
Yep. We should hold them to the same standard we would hold anyone else within the Astros organization. That's why there should be change there. So they got to go. Joe Espada, I'm not anywhere near one way or the other of has to go, has to stay. I think I would just allow Dana Brown to make that decision as the general manager of this team. That if he wants to bring in someone that he knows from Washington or from Atlanta or even internally here in Houston that he thinks is a better fit for this clubhouse, I think that is where it starts. Beyond that, you said something earlier that I think is really important. It's like, how extreme do you want to go with this? Like, do you want to sell off your old guys? Do you want to do some Kyle Tucker 2.0 trades with younger guys on the roster that are eventually going to hit free agency?
Like
and
Pena,
not
Yiner.
Yeah, like Pena, Yiner, Hunter Brown. I think it feels extreme to say that, and I think you'd have to miss the playoffs to even start that conversation. But if they're going to do it, my only thing is, and I don't really want them to, because I don't want to be like doing this with like the Sugarland Space Cowboys planned to be on the Major League Opening Day roster, not with just out there because of
injuries. Yes, of course.
But if you're going to do it, you can't half-ass it.
Yeah, it's the line from Breaking Bad. There's no half measures.
Yeah, you got to go all in.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, if you make the decision, all right, you know, Pena's coming up in a few years. We know we're not going to pay the market price. He's put himself in a conversation where it's beyond our means. Or we've made the decision that it's beyond our means. Let's rephrase it that way. That it's beyond our means to sign him. Then like you're already talking about that, at that point, downgrading the roster by losing a player that important. So I'm with you. Like, I no half measures. If you decide that you're going to sell on one, then sell on basically everybody. Because the Tampa Bay Rays have shown for 20 years longer that you could take, you know, a half step back on a one-year basis and then be right back in the playoff push the next year. If the Astros go about this hard enough, sell off Hunter, sell off Yonner, sell off Pena, sell off these guys we've talked about, the amount of process, like if it's the Kyle Tucker return, not quite as much for those guys, but it's the Kyle Tucker-like return where you're getting a pretty good, you know, starting caliber player plus a nice prospect, you could be back in it in just a couple years.
And I think on the flip side of that, if you want to go all in, on the other side of it,
I'm fine with that too. But you just can't do the middle.
Yeah, like but push. That's
right.
So like if I was Jim Crane, I'd be like, okay, do I want to sell these players? Do I want to move on from players that my fans are going to be pissed that my fans have shown me they're not going to come to games, that they're not going to care about my team if we sell all these players while we rebuild? Or if you're Jim Crane, do you spend like the Dodgers? Do you be aggressive?
Well, they'll never spend like the Dodgers.
No, for sure. But that's why I think you can't. Like, you got to get out of where you are, no matter what happens. Like, a lot of the season is based on injury. But even if Jordan Alvarez was healthy for the entire season, as we sit here today, and they are tied at the top of the AL West, if you have Jordan Alvarez from game one, maybe not playing at this level, but being a pretty good level.
Right.
Like, what are you at? Like, four games above in the AL West? Like, maybe five, six games? Like it's not. There's
one
not
individual
of a
player doesn't make, like, a 20-game difference.
So that's why, like, you either got to, if it's going to stay like this, like, you got to make some real changes, specifically within the pitching staff. Because the lineup is set at this point. Like,
Should it be set, though? I mean, we're talking about a team that got shut out. They go through three-game series scoring three runs.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it should be set.
No, I mean,
I hear what you're saying, but it shouldn't be.
I mean, I would move on from Walker if you can't, no matter what, frankly. Like, I would put Paredes at first base.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Paredes, Altuve, I guess.
Yeah.
Pena.
Wherever you put Altuve.
Correa, Jordan, Jake Myers, Cam Smith. So you have a DH second base catcher area where I think you can improve this lineup the most. Because I would really be disappointed if they moved on from Paredes and kept Walker.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would rather pay as much of Walker's contract off as I could.
Especially since Paredes, has 2 years of team control left.
Yeah, so I wouldn't move on from Paredes. So I think you have like three spots. But really, again, so left field, DH, second base, catcher. Like, some combination of that you could improve. I just don't know how you do it.
Like, well, you're not going to do it with the way they currently run the team. I mean, that's the, the unfortunate honesty that sucks in the situation. Like, I think where they're going to land, unfortunately, is a place where we're not going to like it. Because Jim Crane, we've heard it, I mean, the window's always open. Or what was the tagline for this year? I forget the Sean has a drop for it. I forget the tagline for this year.
It's not relentless, is it?
No, relentless was a few years ago.
Okay.
Regardless, like, Jim Crane's mindset, I don't think is ever going to allow him to take the full step back to do what the Tampa Bay Rays do. He's going to want to at least give off the perception of we're trying to compete and win. So he's never going to sell off, I think, enough to go the Tampa Bay route. But he's also shown an unwillingness to go the Dodgers route and spend enough to overcome the current kind of mid-tier that they've stuck themselves into. So if you're not willing to go Dodgers and spend, and you're not going willing to go Rays, because if he's willing to go Rays, Fromber would have been traded in the offseason along with Kyle Tucker. Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to do either side, you're probably going to be stuck in this gross middle they currently reside in.
From the 8-3-2, anything to get rid of the hitting coaches. They've been on a downslide, obviously, offensively for years. I don't know. I mean,
what about Pena then? What about Jake Myers? Like,
I agree.
People, the point to Walker, the point to other guys, like, oh, the hitting coaches. Well, the same hitting coaches helped Pena have a career season, helped Jake Myers have a career season.
And, I mean, I guess you could credit Carlos Correa, it seems, for Jeremy Pena's resurgence, because apparently that's...
Well, Correa was having kind of a mid-season. I'm not crediting the hitting coaches for it, but I'm just making the point, like, if we're going to talk about the guys having down years,
for sure,
we got to mention the guys having up
years. Cam Smith at the beginning versus the end. Now, look, to the texter's point, I wouldn't just change Joe Espada if they missed the playoffs. I would make pretty big organizational changes, and that would include hitting coaches. Probably not pitching coaches, but you could go down that path if you wanted to. I think they should be safe at this point. with what you constantly getting out of nobodies in the bullpen and in the rotation. Like, they do a pretty damn good job. It's not their fault that Fromber's a head case.
Yeah, Jason Alexander's 2025 stat page should be a pretty good resume for those guys.
But I do think the hitting coaches, like, there's an argument to move away from that. All right, we'll continue discussing this on the other side. Brian McDonald here with you until 7 o'clock. I'm Joe George, also here. Joe and Jeremy. See, I don't, nope.
You
Jeremy
said
and
it.
Joe. Jeremy and Joe.
Jeremy and Joe. There
I was trying
go.
To remember
you
the
tried
order.
Tried to give
names.
Yourself top billing. You played right into what Branham says about you.
You know what? We're going till 7.
Yeah.
And he left early.
So well, you're going to make it Joe and Jeremy
for the next 2 hours. You're listening to Joe and Jeremy here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Now back to Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Jeremy and Joe.
No, that's not the show name. That's not the name of the show.
Vetoed. It is now Joe and Brian.
There we go.
With you until 7 o'clock. And,
well, I thought Mapes.
The official over-under, if he's listening, we're going to go, it's 523. Let's set it at
okay, you're setting line? Okay.
532 and 35 seconds.
I was going to go 542, so I guess I'll have to take the over.
And I think we might be undershooting this, because I think the over-under might be 10 a.m. on Monday.
Is the I hope noon tomorrow because bullpen. Otherwise, I've done shows all summer with just me, Cam, and John. But I hope Mapes doesn't sleep in through the bullpen tomorrow. We'll see.
He probably just forgot about us. I'm sure.
Is napping the current favorite on the board as to why he's? I know it's not playing his dynasty game at our college football 26 because that hasn't been advanced yet.
No, Mapes is definitely.
Shout out to AJ.
Mavis is definitely napping. going back just this Astros conversation for just a little bit. Do you think fans would take it okay if they
Mapes is here.
The under is hit.
The under hit. The under hit. Joe
chunk.
Set a line of 532, so you beat it. You beat it. Crushed it.
I do think.
More or less lingo. My bad.
Welcome, Sean Mapes, to Nick's
Thank
place.
You.
I'll have to turn the camera here in a minute.
First, it says, don't forget to mention the handsome and charismatic owner, Nick, of Nick's Place.
Yes.
Shout out to the handsome and charismatic owner, Nick, of Nick's Place.
Astros coming up here at 6:15, Colorado U of H at 6:30. Karaoke party tonight. You can obviously be here tomorrow morning. 9 a.m. they open up for Premier League Soccer, which is awesome. They've got Canelo versus Crawford tomorrow night, and then every Sunday, $20 buckets of beer, $10 half-pound burger with fries, $5 Jaeger bombs. It's been a while since I've done a Jaeger bomb, guys.
Really?
Oh, you're just.
I think that sandwich you ate earlier was about a half pound, if
it
not
was.
More.
I got the Italian sausage.
This thing was as big as his head. Sean.
It was awesome. It was very good. I had to eat it off camera because I didn't want people to make fun of it.
He didn't want to eat a sausage sandwich
on
camera.
Yeah, a lot of still shots would have been.
Yeah, there's already a lot of people that don't like me right now. So like, I felt like I didn't want to give them more ammunition.
Yeah.
Do you think Astros fans would be okay if they sold players off this season?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think they would understand the way the team's playing?
I don't know. This is a gut feel because it's just been so long since the Astros have been in that situation. Like, it seems like the fan base was pretty okay with it in, like, 11, 12, and 13 because I think they understood that the final years of Drayton McClain signing old guys like Woody Williams and Carlos Lee and Miguel Tejada and Ivan Rodriguez for that 1 year, like, that had run its course to the point where they had a terrible farm system, they were losing picks because they were signing free agents, and their major league roster was terrible. So I think everyone was on board. But the Astros would be coming from the exact opposite of that, where fans accepted it because the team had bottomed out. This team hasn't bottomed out yet. It's bad, it's more mid than bad. But I don't think fans would accept the full sell Yiner, sell Pena, sell Hunter Brown experiment. I think they should, because I think it would be a better path than staying in the middle, but I don't think they would accept it.
The other thing I was just thinking about, as you mentioned McClain, and I was thinking about the TV issues that were happening.
Yeah.
I actually do think that has to factor into why Jim Crane wouldn't want to do this. Because now that he owns and operates Space City Home Network, which is already losing them money because they don't have – they're not getting paid like they were before. If you were to blow up this team in any way, frankly, for the Rockets as well, like it's your own product in the field, on television, in the stadium, all of it that you're tanking, it makes it really challenging.
Yeah, the risk-reward of the level of interest or how much interest you're sacrificing now – versus having a full sell-off in 2026 is much different than the trade-off that of fan interest that you had back in 2010 compared to 2011. That's a much lesser drop. The Astros for the last almost decade have been the number one team in the city of Houston, just as far as fan interest day-to-day. Think about how much we talk about the Astros, how much they're at the top of our rundowns compared to any other city in America that has a football and basketball team. To turn in those chips to be like, I know we can compete for wild cards and compete for divisions for another couple years doing this. No thanks. Actually, we're going to trade away Jeremy Pena, one of the most marketable guys on the team who's in the commercials on the billboards. Actually, we're trading him away. It is just going to be the guys that we can't get anything for and guys no one's ever heard of. So it's going to be the Christian Walker and maybe some Carlos Correa Twilight Years and Twilight Years of Altuve and then AAA players. And we're sending all the young, excited guys that are proven good MLB players. We're trading those guys away. That is a much harder thing to sell now as opposed to what it was in 2011.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I don't think any way to – people are going to be impatient, and who knows how owners are going to react this offseason. Like, I've been saying – Jeremy and I very much disagree with this, but, like, I really do believe that there's going to be some kind of lockout in 2027. And typically, in the past, when there's been – if you look at transactions, you know, that year before, teams are a little hesitant to spend money because they don't want to be locked into something – and then have an offseason, see everything change. Like, we'll see what this offseason looks like. I mean, I think the best thing the Astros could do would be surprise us all and bring Kyle Tucker back.
Buy more.
Put him in left field.
So option one is buy more. Option two, sell.
I think
we phrased it, I think we couched it before you got here as be the Rays or the Dodgers. But I think, or at least the place I'm at, is Jim Crane is willing to do neither, and so we're going to be basically where we are today.
Yeah, you'll do a little bit of both.
I think you'll see one guy get traded, and then you'll see a couple guys stick it out, and then you'll bring in a couple mid-level players, and they'll just kind of keep trying to, you know, shuffle the deck and get this thing back on track, and who knows? Sean and I talked about this earlier today.
Yeah.
All these conversations that we're having right now is what sparks the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
You think the conversations went inside the icebox tonight will really light a fire in their belly?
We can be the motivator.
be the change we want to see in the world.
Yeah. Once it reaches outside the icebox, they'll know. Speaking truth to power.
Joe George, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, we're hanging out with you at Nick's Place until 7 o'clock. Also on Monday Night Football, Texans special for $4. $4 beers, $4 nachos, $4 margaritas, and $4 Jaeger bombs. That's all coming up on Monday. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We'll get back into some NFL conversations because trade rumors, they're not rumors, but trade opinions are happening, and a lot of Texans fans are throwing around the name Tyreek Hill. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
All right, Joe, B-Mac, Sean, hanging out with you here at Nick's Place until 7 o'clock tonight. Karaoke. B-Mac, you hanging around?
I will not. John, you missed this earlier. Joe tried to tell Jeremy and I that he used to be a great singer, but he's not anymore.
I didn't say great. I said good.
And my question to Joe was, if you're a good – okay, I'll drop down to good. If you're a good singer, how do you just not become one at a certain time.
You stop using your instrument.
Yeah, I haven't sung in front of an audience since I was 18 years old.
So were you in choir?
I was in musical theater and choir.
Okay.
I was the lead in a musical my final year.
Oh, okay. Now okay. I've got questions. What, okay. What's the musical? What's the role?
It was Bye Bye Birdie.
I don't know that one well enough to know the roles.
It's a movie based on Elvis Presley dodging
the draft.
Dodging the draft, yeah. But, yeah, so I was.
So timely.
So I was Elvis.
Okay. Oh, you were Elvis.
Essentially, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Did you have to do fake sideburns, or were you able to grow them out?
I used to have hair. So I used to have, like, I'll see if I can find photos.
No, I was talking because you're 18. I didn't know if you had.
No, but I had like, long. I had, like, an awful mullet. it used to grow.
I want
to
see these pictures.
I think that's why my hair is all
gone.
Could
Dana send us these pictures?
I don't think she has them either.
Oh, that's the point.
She's probably seen them, but I try to keep them hidden at all costs at this point in my life.
So you're going to do Suspicious Minds here.
Yes. I was hoping he was going to sing In the Ghetto. just try to make it as awkward as possible.
Yeah.
So did you buy this that he could sing but then lost the ability to?
I could still sing. It's just half of it might be really bad.
I can see where it's like there's some element. It's like playing basketball where like I used to be good at basketball and then I didn't play for 4 years and now I'm bad.
Yeah,
you lose the jump shot,
right? But by that same token, like if you were to practice for like a week, you get at least a couple months.
Yeah,
yeah,
I could
yeah
get
like
back
you
into
could get
it.
The free throw yeah, back.
I feel like if Sean played basketball for a week, he might end up like an Astro out for the season.
Oh
wow!
I was actually talking about Ryan.
I don't know. This is the most elite athlete we have at the station. He did win the run up the stairs for the producer draft.
I talked to Ryan about this literally today.
Actually, Angel's probably better athlete.
He's still recovering.
That's true.
I might have a couple more months when I go to the gym and I feel something, literally the thought crosses my mind of, like, I cannot get injured, like, catastrophically injured at the gym and have to tell Joe, like, hey, I'm going to be in an arm sling. Or, like and then the Lance McCullers
Oh, the comps will be real.
The weight room incident earlier this season, I was like, can't be having that. I like stubbed my toe on a dumbbell like a week after that happened. I was like, oh my god, I hope I didn't break a toe. I was
like, 28 going on 41. I love it.
I do think.
Welcome to my world, brother.
29, brother.
I do think now that we're carrying the Rich Eisen show. I do think we might need to do like a
40?
A run 97.5
oh,
run.
Oh, God.
I think we might need to
Can
do
I
like,
opt out of that
no,
one?
No, damn it.
I'll be there for the comical relief, I guess.
Bone spurs.
Yeah.
Bone spurs, yes.
I think we might do some kind of
shin splints.
Some kind of 40-yard dash. Maybe do like.
Well, did the station back in the day do like a combine? Or was that 15 or 1560
Probably,
days?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I might even be thinking of a
different
station.
It's not exactly reinventing the wheel.
No. Nothing in radio is.
Yeah.
I've thought about doing a beer combine this year. So during the NFL combine.
Sponsored by St. Arnold?
I don't know. No, we can't do like drinking competitions there, so probably not.
Okay.
We ran into some issues planning the listener part.
Yeah, we were going to do some drinking games.
I forgot about that. My bad.
I'm
and
glad.
They're like, maybe binge drinking isn't what we're going for.
But honestly, they still invited Granato.
That's fair. Well, you know.
It was a good call, though.
What can you do?
It was a lot of fun. All right, so there was a list. CBS Sports put out a list today. And they just put out teams that should trade for Tyreek Hill. I think everyone kind of feels at this point Tyreek Hill is going to be traded this season. He's already complaining on the sideline. He already was basically demanded a trade in the offseason. After one game, the Miami Dolphins have already had a players-only meeting, which is pathetic.
Is that the earliest players-only meeting of all time?
No,
one
it's
game?
Not. Yes, but different. Yes and no. The Angels had one like 2 years ago, literally the night of their first game.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was like Ron Washington was their manager.
Oh, well. I mean,
yeah.
That's the baseball.
Manager smokes cocaine, then I get it.
That's the football equivalent of like having one after the first series.
Yes.
Like going 3 and out.
Yes.
And then having a players only meeting.
But the Texans were on this list of teams that should trade for Tyreek Hill. Let's start with the player. We all know what the off the field stuff is. It's not great. The latest lawsuits from his ex-wife are very ugly to read. From just the player perspective, would you trade for Tyreek Hill?
Can he play left guard?
No. He cannot.
Okay, then my interest has diminished. Because to me, with all the – even with the question marks of Christian Kirk's hamstring before ever taking a snap for the Texans. The Iowa State boys getting ready for that jump in competition from Big 12 to the NFL. And the Justin Watson, who's the other receiver?
Braxton Berrios.
Braxton Berrios, Xavier Hutchinson.
Xavier Hutchinson, yeah. Well, an Iowa State boy.
Yes. All those questions, I understand why you have questions about who's the wide receiver other than Nico Collins. That all pales in comparison to what they need, what they really need to fix this offense, which is offensive line help. And so Tyreek Hill, with the problems, the rap sheet as long as my arm, combined with the fact he can't do a pass pro set, I'm out. For that reason, I am out.
I think you're underselling the length of your arm. Like, it would need to be much.
I know, right? Maybe both arms.
Yeah, maybe both arms. I'm out, too, because, look, I think, obviously, Tyreek was once, if not the best wide receiver in the league. Obviously, he was top two or three for several years, especially while he was at KC in the first couple years in Miami. But I start with, I don't think he's that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the first part. The second part of it is I don't want to pay what probably would be at least a third or fourth round pick for Tyreek. Like, the Texans have needs down the line, especially with the guys are about to have to pay, where that might cause some tough decisions elsewhere in the roster, that they may need those picks to, you know, have starters at these places that we're talking about. And the other part of it is, just kind of to Sean's point, like, guard is their need, offensive lines are need, protection's their need. Even if you think Tyreek is, I don't know, 90% of what he was before, his Superman ability is getting deep down the field. What is the last thing you want CJ Stroud doing right now? Hanging on to the ball long enough to throw the deep pass 40, 50 yards down the field. Like, I get the talent, but I'd rather not invite that into my locker room with the cost and the diminishing returns that he's shown over the last year and a half.
From the 832, it says, if you can't get the receivers the ball, who cares what receiver you got? Everything you guys are just saying right now. I agree. And frankly, I think there could be more interesting options at the wide receiver position, honestly, available. I kind of started to think DJ Moore is going to be on the table. Ooh. At some point this season.
I'd be interested in that, but the cost would be even more than Tyreek.
Yeah, and there's some salary issues. Where, like, I mean, say with Tyreek.
Because they paid him 2 years ago?
Yeah, you'd have to move some money for Tyreek to happen as well. Like, it's not just a draft pick trade for him, honestly. But I just feel like there's something going on with DJ and Caleb Williams that I think is very strange. He's really not on the same page with him. So, like, I think DJ Moore could be an option. He's super pouty since he got with Caleb. I think he bought into the hype and has been slapped in the face with reality a little bit.
He's the embodiment of the psyche of Bears fans.
Yeah.
Where he's kind
of
like, ugh.
Yeah.
Keep thinking this next quarterback's going to be the guy that throws for 4,000. Like, oh,
sold a false bill of goods.
Yeah. But honestly, like, if after what we were talking about earlier, Brian, with Joe Mixon and what D'Amico Ryans is saying when he talked about Joe Mixon in the past tense. Mm-hmm. And he said, I hope he's doing well, which indicates he hasn't spoken to Joe Mixon. I think if they're going to make a trade for an impact player, I think running back is going to be more of a priority than wide receiver at this point. Same issues as what you guys are talking about with the offensive line. You can't run block. It doesn't really help. But, you know, could the Saints get to a point where Alvin Kamara is an option to get moved so they can give Kendre Miller the ball full time or something like that? I would be way more intrigued with a player of that in that style versus a player like Tyreek.
And that he gives you something that Nick Chubb gives you less of, which is the ability to receive, be a threat in the pass game as well. So, yeah, if we're talking about, 30-year-old? Is Kamara 30 yet?
I think
he might
be
28.
Yeah, I can look it up. But
for running backs, is 30.
I think he's older than 28, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think as far as, again, not addressing the elephant in the room, which, in fairness to the Texans, is the hardest position to
I mean, they addressed it.
But it's hardest to address in the 30. Regular season.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you're asking between 31-year-old Tyreek Hill and 30-year-old Alvin Kamara, I mean, you know, Kamara has way less allegations on him. So that's a step in the right direction. But I think he can also at least give you a slight boost in two different places, in the run game and somewhere where Tyreek has less of an impact or not the same amount of impact, the short passing game, which is what you need more with Tomlinson and hopefully Ed Ingram. When you find yourself in the situation of hopefully Ed Ingram gets healthy,
that's gross, Sean.
Your guard situation's cooked.
Yeah, your guard situation's certainly cooked. Like I would definitely be more on the side of Kamara than Tyreek because, I mean, I think one of the ways to help the C.J. Stroud and this offensive line would be to get something they don't have in that position with the running game. Like I don't think Damian Pierce hasn't seemed to get it. I mean, hasn't got it for a number of years. Nick Chubb is obviously seemingly washed after multiple injuries. I think Kamara could give you some of the speed, and even at 30, and the receiving ability. And even though they both have rap sheets, at least Kamara's fighting men and not women and children like Tyreek. So,
what about James Conner?
I'd be fine with that. I don't know what his contract is.
Is he on the block?
If Trey Benson, I was just really excited what I saw from Trey Benson this weekend. So I was like, okay,
he did get more carries than Connor.
If the Cardinals were to really lean into the Trey Benson route, like maybe they could be open to a move.
Well, the only problem with that, though, is you're probably not talking about anything anytime soon because right now the Cardinals are one. They're probably going to win again this week. They're favored again. Like, they're not going to be in a position where they're thinking about selling assets.
And also, they might just be too good this entire season.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be in a position. At best case, you're talking trade deadline before they would make that move, and that's kind of too late for the Texans.
Not Santa asked us on Twitter, and we got a text about it as well. Maybe from the same person, I'm not sure, about who said it. Who said it will return.
At some point.
At some point. We're going to do it a little differently. We're not going to do it every week. We're going to give BMAC the chance to
maybe
find.
Maybe we will. We're not saying that it couldn't happen in back-to-back weeks. I just wouldn't plan on. Look, it's. I got fewer people to pick from. It's a little more complicated now.
It's just a fact. So
maybe Rich Eisen makes it in. I don't know. We'll see.
For those that really love Who Said It, Who Said It will return. It probably won't be five quotes. It might be three quotes.
It might be three. It might look a little different. And not today, but it will return.
But if Jeremy doesn't get over this underdog thing,
God.
I might have to veto that.
Jeremy lost his mind on us earlier.
We did a betting segment.
It was a very random take.
It's called Two Favorites and a Dog. We picked underdogs to cover the spread. He thinks it should be underdogs to win outright.
No.
And he died on that hill. He died on it that it was stupid to pick
picking the favorites against the spread?
Yes.
Then, pick all three of them against the spread.
All right. Sean Mapes.
It's a different segment.
I already like having Sean on the show.
He's on our team. All right.
It's just a different segment.
What Joe didn't mention is we had the conversation about doing this segment on Wednesday, and it was approved by Branham. And then today.
All right.
Anyway, very much not approved.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here on ESPN.
I think you've got a life, Freak.
97.5 and
St. Arnold.
92.5. St. Arnold, a beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone. We had a great time there after the listener party. Also very fun. But they've got the space for groups that you can rent out for big birthday bashes, weddings, family reunion, company happy hours, trade shows, corporate meetings, holiday gatherings, whatever you want. The holidays are right around the corner. If you got a business and you're trying to figure out where you're going to be celebrating the holidays, having something going on for your employees, the St. Arnold Beer Hall is absolutely the best place to do it. They've got spaces for groups from 20 to 300 people. And since you're a listener of this fine station, mention ESPN or my name, Joe, and receive their brewery game package free for your event. That game package includes a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool tables, and as a bonus, the photo booth. Get started at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at Nick's Place. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. I told Joe 30 seconds. He was in his other world.
I was on my email.
Welcome to Brian and Sean here on ESPN
Vito.
Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
We've had enough changes this week. Vito. All right. Is there anyone
else?
Our
record of the day nominee.
Yep. Well,
your second one of
it's
the.
It's 551. Are we doing that right now?
We're not doing that right now.
Okay.
We might not even do it. I don't know.
That's fine.
You had two this break.
Yeah, it happens. I dropped the headphones.
The good ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
Jinx. Yeah, I was not my proudest moment.
Last 2 minutes were pretty rough.
No, they were pretty bad. Well, you know what? We all have those minutes in our lives that don't go great.
Live read was great, though.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks, Todd. In terms of trades, I feel like asking for the Texans to trade for a guard, though, is unrealistic.
Yeah, no, those kind of trades never happen.
It's always skill
season.
Position.
Yeah,
players.
So it's skill position and defense. So I think, unfortunately for the Texans, like, there's no cavalry coming unless that cavalry, like I said, is Ed Ingram, which is a tough spot to find yourself. But there is an element of truth to it just in the fact that that was their established starting group that they had established for the last few weeks of training camp, and to have that shuffled before the first game, I can give them the benefit of the doubt, especially with Ursary having to be the one that flips from being on the left side to the right side, back to the left side, back to the right side, especially when Cam Robinson got hurt in the middle of the game. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. The unit as a whole, though, like, it's still going to be a bad unit. I'm just not sure if it was as bad as we saw on Sunday.
We talked about this the other day. So if Ingram comes back, Cam Robinson, based on Pro Football Focus and all the different, you know, nerdy sites and stuff, he was the best graded offensive tackle or offensive lineman for the Texans. Would you leave Cam Robinson at left tackle and bench Ariante in favor of putting Ed Ingram at right guard and Titus Howard at right tackle? Or would you then bench Cam Robinson and go back to your original plan?
Well, if you believe the reporting from Aaron Wilson, they're going back to what Sean said, like the offensive line that they were running out there towards the end of preseason and training camp, which would include Cam Robinson on the bench. It feels like a tough case to make, though, to put him on the bench, considering he was your, like you said, Joe, the only bright spot amongst the group, and he's a guy that you spit near the top of the market for. He's the best left tackle that left his team in free agency, and he's a guy with more of a track record than Ed Ingram, who was just as bad as Kenyon Green was last year in pressures allowed from the guard position. So it's tough to make that argument, but I do think I side with kind of what Sean was talking about. As bad as the offensive line was last week, aside from Cam Robinson, I would like to give the offensive line they settled on 1 week at least before I say they're trash.
That was going to be my rebuttal. Like, you have to trust your evaluation before the season. Like, you can't be chasing the laser pointer that much of like, oh, this guy was good for four quarters in one sample size, when, again, the rookie right tackle who was then the left tackle who had to be moved back to right tackle and then play a little bit of left tackle, but then back to right tackle. Like, that guy playing his first...
They set him up to fail.
Yeah, that guy playing his first game in the NFL against Jared Verse and Brian Young, or Byron Young. Like, yeah, you're going to be bad. Like, it's going to be rough tape to look at, all things considered. I think maybe if you want to tell me that Ed Ingram's going to be out Monday as well, and you'll give this configuration another chance, and it's just as bad, maybe the sample size then grows. But right now, I think you got to trust what you thought, 2 weeks ago.
Quick text here about the trade conversation we're having from the 315. They suggest Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker could be trade candidates. Breece Hall, the way he ran this weekend, I think they're going to really be relying on that 1-2 punch with Braylon Allen to support Justin Fields. Like, Justin Fields threw just enough to make him look like a really good quarterback this
week. I thought you were going to say the 1-2 combination was Fields and Hall.
Yeah, I actually did too. Yeah.
But, like, well, really, I mean, you have a three-headed
monster. What would be the Jets' motivation in this scenario?
I think it's that Braylon Allen is the dude.
Breece Hall,
he was the youngest player in the NFL last
Breece
year.
Breece Hall was pretty mid last year, but it looked good in week one. It's a new coaching staff, it's a new quarterback, it's a new system. So I can't imagine the Jets bailing on a guy that was, what, top of the second round pick for him? This early in a new regime.
Yeah, I also think that it's a little premature because who's the other guy?
Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, it's two teams, or one team that's 1-0, another team that is at least a threat in their division. They obviously lost to the Niners on a last-minute play. Like, it's very, very close to two 1-0 teams with the Seahawks and the, oh, my God, the Jets. Actually, no, the Jets lost,
Jets
too.
Lost. They should have won, but,
They definitely stuck up after the loss.
Sure. They scored over 30.
You're back to the conversation of, like, you're talking about week 7 or 8 when this trade would go down, and it's just so long from now that it's like, I'm willing to give just Woody Marks a chance to actually, like, develop a little bit. Like, you're going to have 6 more games of this backfield. Let's see a little bit more, especially because I think that most of the problems are the 5 guys in front of them.
I do think of the 2, though. I could see the Seahawks moving Kenneth Walker. Because they like Charbonnet, because Kenneth Walker's been so in and out of the lineup with injuries, he's had a very stop-start career. I could see the Seahawks, if they lost another game, maybe they start the year 1-3, let's say, saying, like, you know what, we like Charbonnet, let's go ahead and move
pick
on.
Pick up
from
a fifth. Yeah,
exactly. I could see that happening. I can't see Breece Hall.
A little bit, and this is real quick, a little bit of the, if they want to trade them, I'm a little less interested now that you want to trade them.
Yes.
If you want to give them up, I'm now worried.
All right. What are the games we're looking forward to the most this weekend? NFL, college. Let's talk a little Texans as well, even though that game is not till Monday night. That's all coming up next year on Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.